Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Get right into it. Our very first guest and a first time appearance on the show. I was wondering if she was all scared to come on or not. Not used to what we do here on Garage Talk Live, but we have owner driver for a Top Fuel, well, not Top Fuel, Nitro Funny Car. I think the funny cars are better than the Top Fuel anyway, but that's neither here nor there. And joining us later on will be pro stock driver Camry Caruso. So it's the ladies of drag racing. Do we call it drag queens, or is that something different? Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How you doing? Thank you for having me on. This is great. I really appreciate it.
Well, any person that, you know, you reached out to me, I guess, in LinkedIn and wanted to follow me, and looking at your bio, oh, race car driver. Got to have her on, especially the ladies. I like to promote the ladies in racing because, like, especially in NASCAR, they don't get enough attention, and if they do, it's not really all that good. And NHRA is the only major motorsports series where women excel. I mean, we have Brittany Force, Shirley Muldowney, Erica Enders, Leah Pruitt's coming along, but she's got better equipment now. We used to have we have Angel Sampei, Alexis DeJoria. I mean, winner. I mean, everybody wins. So what made you the
right?
So out of all the divisions, why funny car?
I grew up in Los Angeles, in kind of the mecca of drag racing, and when I was 13, when I was about four, the very first funny car I ever sat in was Larry Fullerton's Trojan Horse. And that was in Van Nuys, California. Well, then, you know, growing up at the track, you know, the people I lived with, they had bracket cars. They had a super stock car, started running NHRA, you know, AHRA at first, then NHRA. And, you know, just always at the races and sometimes a different track at Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So when I was 13, I met Lou and Vicky Gasparelli with an alcohol car. And from then on, they gave me jobs. Now, I was already a sophomore in high school at 13. So I was very far advanced anyway. And they gave me jobs where I did Louis Fuel. I did the shoots. And I sat in the car to go to the lanes. I sat in the car after the run. And I sat in the car to go up into the trailer. And the hook, line, and sinker was there at that point. And by the time I was 16, it was, I'm going to drive a funny car. I know I'm going to drive a funny car. Well, you know, being a kid going, hey, Mom and Dad, I want to have a car, to, wow, I'm an adult and I got married very young, and now I've got to provide a living for my upcoming family. You know, it took a kind of a right turn, and I had a very lucrative and successful career within the music industry.
Oh, really?
The music industry was, yes. I have many, many gold and platinum records, one diamond. I've worked on Academy Award-winning albums, Grammy Award-winning albums. I've worked with artists from introductory and novice all the way through legendary, Ray Charles, Peter Gabriel, Phil Collins, you know, Kid Rock. I mean, just a very vast array of artists. Well, that in itself, once I got divorced, led me right back to drag racing. And it's a very fluke story, and it really is the circle of life. So I went to Frank Holly School and got my license in Super Comp, bought a Super Comp car while I was doing music, and I did that for, I think, 2 years. I ran Super Comp, and no disrespect to the sportsman racers. We have to have sportsman racers out there. I have a lot of friends in Division 7 and Division 4 that run sportsmen. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to them where credit is due, because they're the weekend warriors that go out there every weekend when they can and, you know, and keep all this running on the Lucas Oil side of things. But from there, it was like, I'm going to get a funny car. And a lot of my sportsman friends said, you're crazy. I said, well, I'm bored. I got to step it up. And I got the funny car. I bought a complete turnkey operation, again, via the music industry. And there we go. The hook was back from when I was 19 and walked away from racing.
Wow. And I saw where you posted it for sale last year, but you had a 78 Pontiac Trans Am or Firebird. And I'm somebody that had a 76 and a 77 Trans Am. So it's like, ah, oh, my heart's palpitating.
Well, my original car was a Camaro, and I ran top alcohol funny car in NHRA for 14 years. So in Division 4, we never finished out of top 10 in Division 4. You know, we campaigned a lot, and the year that I was working with the WHO, we did, I don't know, 17 events or something crazy. And it was really fun. You know, like you just, we were going race to race, and then I was flying back and working on Peter Gabriel and the WHO concerts and then flying back to the next race. You know, kind of the ultimate of high, you know, horsepower and rock and roll, I guess you would say. So then I had a Monte Carlo top alcohol funny car. And when we got up into 2016, we were like, well, we can move over to all the Alan Johnson stuff, or we can dabble in this nostalgia nitro fuel funny car deal. So in 2017, we bought the Trans Am. And we've won a handful of races. We still to this day hold a couple of track records in that car. And, yes, I am trying to sell it because now I've got the Camry, and we want to go back to our roots. I want to go back to my roots and go back to NHRA. And I've got, you know, a really good guidance and assistance from a gentleman that you may or may not have heard of. His name is Michael Klober. And he's worked with Clay and just a whole plethora of people that he has been a championship crew chief working for and, you know, performing his magic. So he's assisting us, and he, you know, one step at a time, we're changing the combination of what we got in the car. So it's not going to be the stage 8 or whatever that they're running right now. We're going to be a couple stages behind that, but it'll be good to get my feet wet. It'll be great to get the team acclimated so that we are a complete working machine from the moment we leave the shop to the moment we get back. And that's the goal. For right now, we are working on marketing and branding packages. I'm working with a gentleman named Chris Power Gomez, who is also on LinkedIn, and he's really doing some neat things in behind the scenes, as well as I'm doing some things on the side. So we're kind of branching out and going away from what the quote-unquote normal sponsor type branding partner is that's coming to the table. There's plenty of companies out there for that to happen. So it's just one step at a time, one day at a time. We will be debuting in 2024, and we're very excited about that. So,
well, that's really neat. I mean, finding out about you doing stuff in the music industry, that, you know, that's my, like, my second hobby kind of thing, you know. As a matter of fact, I like this band. I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they're young. They're siblings, and they used to be in L.A., and they moved to Georgia during the pandemic, and they're called Liliac. And if you've done rock music, they started out doing covers like everybody else, and you might want to check them out and tell me what you think. Now that we're Facebook friends, we're a little bit better off than just, you know, having you just come off of the show and all that, so we could always interact throughout anything if you want. We could even exchange private numbers as well. Sometimes texting's a lot easier than trying to wait for, at least with me, living in the middle of nowhere, sometimes the internet signal's a little iffy, but.
Sure. Well, and, you know, weather is such an impact on the satellites as well. So, especially when you're farther out, it makes a difference, for sure. So
that's totally true.
What's your, favorite genre of music?
Classic, hard rock, heavy metal. My early band growing up was, I start first thing on, ooh, Three Dog Night, and ooh, Jethro Tull. Then the Deep Purple hit me, and I was like, this is the stuff.
Right?
I mean, Mark II Deep Purple. Ian Gillan, Roger Glover, Richie Blackmore. Richie's a little kooky, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah, the newer bands, I kind of disconnected a little bit from music around 2012. However, though, I do listen to SiriusXM radio, and I have two particular channels. And the reason why I listen to those two is once we start doing laps, and, you know, I need three passes to cross-grade my license. So once we get all that stuff and I start getting video coverage and, you know, more pictures and stuff like that, I'm doing my due diligence on these couple of different radio stations of, like, you know, just solid rock beats or, you know, really good drum fills and stuff with just bass and drums and stuff that's very off kilter from what you hear on the mainstream of all these lyrics that come in that fit with, you know, certain stories and reels that you use for social media. So I'm really looking forward to that because I love that part of the whole, the social, and then the social part of drag racing and the networking, but as well as the creative part of what you can do with content afterwards. And so I'm really looking forward to all of that.
That's a thing, like, you've been doing this a while, so you have an idea. It's not like you're stepping into it cold. And it's like, ooh, I need a PR person. Ooh, I need to go find sponsors. Ooh, I need, you know, it's like, it would probably, like, if I had to do something like that, my head would explode.
The thing is, you've
come through the ranks.
Well, and the thing is that I've gone through certain periods of time where, you know, when I was in school, okay, I was very, very young. I wasn't immature. I was just young. And, I mean, to graduate high school, I had to be very creative in English class and look over my friend's shoulder that sat in front of me to pass tests. That's what I had to do. Well, come to find out, when I was in the music industry and I started my own recording studio, I had this art that was hidden where I could compose and I could write. So I actually started writing other racers' press releases as well as my own and doing them in third person. And I can still do those to this day. Will I have time once we're running that car? Probably not. And there will, you know, I will be sourcing out. I know I've talked to Elon, I've talked to Rob Geiger, and, you know, and some other people, but that's going to be down the road a little bit. At first, economically, I may end up having someone write them, and then, you know, I may write them and distribute, you know, send them to somebody else to distribute and let them edit and do any corrections that need to be. But you're right. I mean, I've been driving a funny car for a long time, so not the first rodeo.
Well, see, that's the thing. So, and you have, working in the music industry, I guess, helped your persona as far as dealing with the public, and, you know, there's a lot of things that come into play that, from your background, not many people have that. They just focus on driving the car or working on the car or things like that. So you have, I guess, marketing skills that most people need to outsource because they don't have them.
Well, yeah, and the little filler of the gap there is I worked at Disney Records for 10 years before I had my own recording studio. And so, you know, when you work in a Fortune 100 corporation like that, especially an entertainment corporation, at the time we had so many different business units that we interacted with. You know, like I worked for the record label, but Imagineering, we had our hands in with the rides at the parks. We had our hands in with the music studios or movie studios. You know, it was all we all worked very, very well together, yet we all outsourced our resources for what we needed to do to make the bigger picture come together. And so I worked, I was in research and, R&D and product development. And so I worked with marketing, I worked with sales, I worked with production, I worked with quality, I worked with the upper management, we worked, you know, with the designers, with the IT departments, with legal. It was just this whole conglomerate of departments that, you know, you don't go necessarily meeting to meeting, because being in product development, we were in the recording studios a lot and, you know, overseeing that the product would get done. I mean, it was nothing to sometimes have to stay in a recording studio until midnight to make sure you hit the deadline so that production could go into full force for all the sales information that was coming out in Billboard. And, you know, it's just a very large array of things that you have to be 100% on top of and aware of. And it's no different in the music industry. I mean, it's no different in the racing industry. It's really no different in any large type of industry where you're multitasking and managing many different things at once in order for the team to have a win-win situation.
That's true. And, you know, the thing that gets me is you're not going into this nitro version blind, climbing through the ranks like you did. And it's just one of those things that your eyes are open and you're all set. Now, being you're going to debut next year.
Yes.
What do you think of this season as far as now the countdown's on and who do you like and... Maybe you can come on and co-host with me one of these days.
that'd be fun. You know, I think this season is going phenomenal. I think that the win last week that Coletta had was huge. You know, they've got Alan Johnson over there. They've got Mark Denner over there and a handful. Just the talent pool on that team is just so deep. And I was really, really happy for Dougie. He's come so close so many times. And the year that I'm sorry, I don't remember the year, but we were there when he ended up second to Tony at the World Finals. You know, just seeing his face just said everything, because he's worked so incredibly hard all these years, and he's actually a very good craftsman. You know, I mean, he's got his pilot license. He's a heck of a welder. He does a lot of really cool things like that. So I'd like to see him, you know, at least get up in there and give Ashley and Torrance a little bit, you know, give him some real solid, like, end-of-the-year competition. And, you know, I think everybody's rising to the occasion, and I think it's going to be really good. I think the moment of the year for Indy was Ron Capps. And with the snake out there and with everything that happened there, what a picture-perfect storybook showing, ending, beginning, the whole thing with Guido, and again, another talent pool that lies so deep. And Guido's, I mean, he just is an amazing, they're all amazing crew chiefs, really, to be honest with you. You know, and Prostock, I don't follow the bikes as much. I know that with Matt getting Ellis in there to be a blocker this last weekend was brilliant. It definitely paid off, and it worked in their benefit. I'm in Prostock. I really kind of, you know, Erica's doing so well. She's definitely got her hands full with Hartford and Dallas Glenn, for sure. It's very tough. It's a very tight class. And, Yeah, I think that covers all four. But the other stories are happening in Top Alcohol Dragster. You know, I have to go back to my alcohol roots because I'm still friends with all of the alcohol teams that we ran with. And Doug Gordon is, you know, just right now he's the manzo of Alcohol Funny Car, him and Mike. And, you know, and then watching what McPhillips is doing with Tony Stewart's car. And, you know, of course, Randy Meyer's cars are in the thicket of all of that. And it's some really, really tight competition. And that's what we're going to do at Dallas. We actually, on occasion, help Gary Cooper. And he's got his son driving has the national championship speed record. And we, wow. You know, we were all there at Ennis when it was set. Yeah, it was 286.62, I believe. It was almost 287 miles an hour. And as to date, the closest car that's come to it, I think, was one of Meyer's car, like 283, I think, or something like 282, 283. So the record is very stout. And that car used to be Alan Hartley's Top Fuel car. So the car has been around for a long time. And, you know, Gary, he second-guessed himself a lot, but when he's on it, he's on it, and he figures it out, and he gets it going, and you know, of course, enlists help, you know, like everybody, you know, we all have to enlist some help and point us in the right direction sometimes, but yeah, that's who we'll be out with at Ennis. In fact, we're going to be running the Jegs All-Star, so, you know, and I mostly do the cooking and the parachutes and stuff like that, and then I pretty much network around, and then I do all the videography at the starting line, so...
Yeah, networking is good. I think that's one of the things that I learned to do. I don't know, because, you know, I grew up an introvert, so kind of weird. Then I joined the Marine Corps, and that changed everything. So.
Right.
So
I
was just saying, you know, I like to talk, and I got this radio thing, and then I brought it to online, and nobody in the Philly area covered motorsports. They were all doing all sorts of basketball, football, baseball, hockey. I said, oh, let me try this. And I just went to the NASCAR PR manager. Somebody told me who to hook up with. And he goes, I just said, I'm the only motorsports talk show on the air in Philly. And we kind of hooked up. And then I got to go to some of them championship functions in New York when it was safe. And then I got into the covering drag racing. And that's, how I met Elon and the John Force when he worked for them and all that. So now it brings me a full circle. I get to meet you, and you're a newbie a newbie to me, a newbie to my audience. And, you know, and you're a great guest because I say a couple things and then you talk for the next 5-10 minutes.
I do talk a lot sometimes, but
it's okay.
Yeah, it's
like
Mike. Mike told me, you know, sometimes you have great days and then you have days going, oh, okay, what's next? What's my next plot? What's my next, you know, scheme that I've got to figure out how to get this happening? Or, you know, what do I have to do to the rig to make sure that it's roadworthy? And, you know, all these different things. And Mike at one point said, you're the leader of the band. Stand up and take control. And it was like, and so sometimes, you know, he says things that just resonate in my brain. And then it's such positive reinforcement to everything I know. But sometimes you just need to hear it from a different party of what you're doing and to keep, you know, just one foot in front of the other and keep going. Because we were really hoping to have the car out by now. And we could run the existing, I mean, we've got enough parts to run the existing combination, but we don't want to do that. We want to step it up. One of our fortes has been with every car that we've bought is that we've actually made it go faster than the car has ever been. And by luck of the draw, all the cars we've gotten have been very low-run cars. And so, you know, the car's got very good bones. And, you know, and we just one piece at a time, one step at a time. And when the racing gods say it's time to come together, it's going to come together fast. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm telling you, I'm so excited about it. I'm just like, it'll happen. Yay.
Well, that's for sure. Well, this is what it's just one of those things. I mean, some of my best guests were people like you who like to sit and talk. Kenny Wallace from NASCAR, and of course in drag racing, John Force. I'd get one question, there's 15 minutes worth of talking right there on an answer. As a matter of fact, his first call into the show, he was running late at a function, and Elon got a hold of me and says, hey, John's running late. He might not be able to get on. Well, Ashley do. Yeah, why am I going to turn down? So she came on. She was getting ready to go on, and then and like 3 minutes before my show ended, John calls in, and then the writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer, he was listening to the show that day, and he's like, how did you only keep John Force to 3 minutes?
Yeah, John's been at this a long time. He's definitely very well seasoned. He's definitely, you know, with between him and Robert and Proc and what Danny Hood is doing now, it's like, you know, a lot of people, like with Manzo in the alcohol ranks, they were like, man, what are we going to do to beat this guy? What do we got to do? Well, what you got to do is you got to rise to the occasion and be as good as what they are. And so to me, their inspiration of this is the end goal of what we want to do. And, you know, we welcome the challenge instead of, you know, some people, I guess, may or may not look at it like that. But those guys are definitely inspirational for somebody like me that's, you know, just now stepping up. I honestly, as a kid, I never thought that I would have a fuel car, you know, a big show car. You know, it was like, to me, my grand illusion of aspiration was an alcohol funny car. And when I got my alcohol car, man, it was like, boy, my life was, you know, relatively complete. Here I am working in the music industry, and here I have this beautiful race car, and we're, you know, doing all this stuff and going places and doing this and doing that. It really was a lot of stepping stones to be to be where we're at today, a lot. And I'm very grateful for it. I can't wait. Boy, I got that hook of nitro in that nostalgia car, and it's like, all right. I've been going like, you know, 560s, 570s for a long time. Let's go a little faster. And some of the people around me were like, you're crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I only live once. So I might as well live it.
That's for sure.
I'm not on two wheels. I'm not on a motorcycle going 200. So.
Well, that was a quick half hour. As a matter of fact, my next guest is calling in right now, so I'm going to let you go and pick her up, and we'll talk to Camry Caruso. So, Nancy, thanks for coming on, and welcome, Camry. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, we just had Nancy Matter. She's going to be driving Nitro Funny Car next year, and you're in your second season of Pro Stock, and I remember the last time you were on, you were just getting your feet wet. Now you got a Wally, you won an All-Star thing, and you're in the countdown. You've been a busy girl.
Yeah, we've definitely been busy, that's for sure.
So how do you feel your season's progressed from last year to this year? You think you've been advancing at the expected level, or you think you need to get into a little more? I mean, it's only your second year, and I know, like, they always call it the sophomore jinx, but actually you have a better sophomore year, so you can't call it a jinx.
No, we've done really great this year. We've won Phoenix, qualified number one in Pomona, won the All-Star Shootout, qualified for the countdown. We're definitely doing great this year, and I have a great team, and it's been really good.
I saw that you have a sponsor that's tequila, and I'm thinking, she ain't old enough to drink. And then Elon said last week you were 25, so I guess you are.
Yep, I definitely am.
Tequila
Commissario is the sponsor. Yeah, they have a great tequila.
Yeah.
They make great margaritas. There's Blanco, Añejo, Reposado. So they have tequila for kind of anybody, and they have a sipping one and then the margarita one. So They're a really good choice.
What's the sipping one, the Reposado or the Añejo?
Both of them.
Both of them, yeah.
One
the
just
clear...
aged longer than the other one.
Yeah. Well, the Blanco is more of your mixed one. It's a little harsher, I think, and says I like the smoother stuff. So I'll have to try that one. Try your brand. Help your sponsor out.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're looking forward. You got the first one in, made it to the quarters at Maple Grove. On to the next race. What are you looking forward to this time?
We're going to go into Charlotte. We worked out a few bugs that we were having in Reading, worked them out, got a race car back, and we're ready to make a really good run at Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte's actually not too far for me, about 3 hours away. Bristol, Thunder Valley's a lot closer, so I'm going to try to get that one next year and see you all in person. And
awesome. That would be awesome to have you come out and get to witness it in person.
Because the only NHRA event that I've been to was years ago at a track in New Jersey called Englishtown Raceway Park.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think
we
that
all
enhanced,
know Englishtown.
That enhanced my love of drag racing, to standing on the start-finish line and having cars take off with all that horsepower. You can't imagine what that feels like. You can, but... The average person can't, and it's like something that really gets your blood going.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just awesome, especially for people who haven't experienced it before, to stand on the starting line and get to experience it firsthand.
So how do you look? I mean, going event to event now, getting close to a championship, how's the feeling? Are you getting a little overexcited? Is it something that you have to stay focused to not get overexcited?
Yep, you kind of have to just stay focused, do your job, and have faith in your team and your car, and it'll all work out how it's supposed to. You can't really get overexcited, or that's when you kind of make mistakes.
What gets me is, you know, when the car's running well. But what I think is important is, and you probably know this too, is reaction time. How do you time the light to where you can get off the line quicker than your opponent, basically?
You just got to focus and practice. We have a simulator at the shop that we practice in a bunch, and got to stay on top of it.
I always wondered how that worked. I mean, you know, having simulators. Years ago, they didn't have simulators. You had to, I guess, do it, go practice at a strip somewhere. But how's technology, I guess, has helped all forms of motorsports, not only drag racing, but stock car racing. Because when they had the pandemic,
oh, yeah.
I think they had sim racing for everybody.
Oh, yeah, no, they have done a really great job with all that. We're really thankful that we have the simulator, and we can practice our reaction times and our shifting and everything else. So that's how we stay on top of it, but it's definitely a plus to be able to have the technology we have nowadays.
That's for sure. I mean, and the, going with the car functions, does it help there with having electronic ignition and all that kind of stuff?
I would assume so, yep. It's been like that for quite a while, so I don't really know how it was before, but I would assume so, yes.
Well, when you get to Charlotte, what's the when your team gets to a certain event, what are like the first things you like to do?
Well, we have to set up and get parked and get the car out and get the awning up and just get ready for the event in the weekend and get everything prepared.
I'm talking about off time, when you leave the track and have to chill out for till the next day.
If you just go to dinner and then go back to the hotel and relax.
What time do you normally have to be at the track, we'll say, for qualifying and practice and all that? Of course, elimination day might be a little different, but you still got to be there early.
I mean, it just depends on what time we're qualifying. But usually, you got to get there about 6 hours ahead of time. So whatever the math adds up to.
That's I got you on that one. So, going back to Charlotte, you figure the first time there you had the four wides, and now you have just regular one opponent. Is there a different feel than doing four wides?
Absolutely. There's two completely different ways of racing. Four wide is a lot different than two wide, so it's nice to have the consistency of regular one opponent in the countdown, but it's definitely cool to have two four wides a year for the fans. So
yeah, I guess it for the fans pretty good. It looked like Maple Grove was pretty sold out there. It was a hell of a crowd from what I could see.
Yeah, no, they had a few sold out days and the fans were awesome. It was jammed packed and everybody was super awesome.
You got a lot of people coming up to your truck and getting autographs. You're growing your fan base.
Yeah, no, it was sold out a few days, so the fans were great, and there was a ton of people there.
That's cool. It is an experience, and you don't have to sit through, I guess, hours of people going in circles. That's what's good about drag racing, that you all have your own thing to do, so. Well, it's pretty neat to have you coming up the ranks. Who's your biggest opposition that you want to take down when you go out there? Is it obviously, would it be Erica or Dallas or being?
No, it's Erica's just anybody, whoever's in the other lane. It really doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's a guy or a girl or anything. The cars don't know if you're a guy or a girl. They're just a piece of machinery. So it doesn't really matter who's in the other lane. Anybody who's over there.
Well, I was just figuring Erica has 5 championships. You know, I think the only woman in drag racing to have that many. She'd be somebody you'd want to have fun beating. Because I remember when she got her first win against Glenn Anderson, it was kind of... he didn't want to be that guy to lose to her, and he wound up being that guy. So I was just wondering if you had anybody that felt that way about you, and being you already won, so whoever. Going back, I can't remember who it is, but I'm sure you do. But how did that feel getting your first Wally?
It was awesome. I mean, obviously it's a big thing, but going back to what you said prior, it doesn't really matter who's in the other lane. I mean, running against Greg is going to be the biggest because he is the winningest one in pro stock. He is the best as of now. But beating everybody we did on the way to the win in Phoenix was awesome. We had tough competition all day. Everybody in that class is a really great racer, so... just work hard, and it all pays off eventually.
This is true. I guess the fact that you coming up, getting your first win, it puts their eye on you because maybe they have to change their game knowing you're that good, and makes it interesting to watch. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, anyway, I'd like to wish you luck in Charlotte. Because anybody that comes on the show, I support. And so this way, I hope you come back on again. And I would like to see you take your second Wally and move up that ladder in the countdown. Because I want to see you fight for that championship in Pomona.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me, and we'll definitely talk soon.
All righty. Have a good
awesome.
Day.
Thank you.
What do you got planned for the rest of today?
Working.
On the car?
Working. No, just in general, on the team, sponsors, everything else.
That kind of working. Yeah, that can be fun and it can be tiresome, but I hear you. Anyway, thanks again for joining me. You have a good day, and we'll have you back maybe when you win that championship or going into that last round if you're battling for that big Wally.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye now. There you have Camry Caruso, 25 years old, driving for Tequila Commissario. I got to try that. I'm a tequila person. And so, ladies of drag racing, young, and somebody that is climbing the ladder. Anyway, let's get to the results. For the NHRA, I go to the NASCAR results as well. Doug Kalita did take the top fuel ladder up against Steve Torrence. So he had the lowest ET at a 365 with an 8. Going to Funny Car. Robert Height, the Wally. It's been his first win in a while. Chad Green was the runner-up. So usually I give you the whole ladder rundown, but we're low on time. I still got to get to NASCAR. John Force had the best reaction time with an 0.41. Matt Hagen had the top speed with a 3.36. On to Pro Stock, Matt Hartford, he hasn't won in a while. Kyle Koretsky, runner-up. Eric Enders with a 649 with a 7, the low ET. Kyle Koretsky, a 003 with the reaction time. And Aaron Stanfield with a top speed of 210. Erica qualified number one, and she went all the way to the semis against Hartford. Our guest, Camry Caruso, beat Derek Kramer, who was on a roll. He had a 6.53 with a 7 in round one. And then, unfortunately, reaction time was pretty even with Hartford, but he was the eventual winner. He had a 6.54, and Camry had a 6.62 with a 4. And then up against Erica Enders, who had some issues in the semis with a 25.5, which is definitely not like her. The car must have messed up. And then, Hartford and Koretsky in the final. Koretsky had 003 was there, and Hartford had an 012, but 653 beats a 713 on the ET, so no hole shot when you're over almost a whole second behind. And the Pro Stock bikes, Matt Smith takes the Wally. Chip Herrera. Chip Ellis takes the runner-up. Sorry about that. Low ET was Gage Herrera at 669. Best reaction, Gage Herrera at 009. Top speed at Chip Ellis. Let's go to a weekend wrap-up of NASCAR. Go to the Cup Series first and work our way down. We were out at Bristol, the night race. 90 miles away from me. Fun place to go. We had the trucks. We had the cup, and we had Xfinity. Everybody does the night race. They will not be doing dirt at Bristol next year. I guess it's too much work. But top four are playoff people. We have Corey Heim taking the checkered flag. Christian Eckes, who started on the pole, wound up second. Grant Enfinger, third. Carsten Hocevar, fourth. Taylor Gray, fifth. Raja Carruth is sixth. Ben Rhodes, seventh. Chase Purdy, eighth. Ninth is Nick Sanchez, and rounding out your top ten is Matt DiBenedetto. Christian Eckes won both stages and led twice for 150 of the 200 laps. So he pretty much dominated but fell a little short, which kind of is no fun. Race was 1 hour 16 minutes. Average speed, 84.047, margin of victory, 0.218 seconds. Caution flags, 4 for 33. Four lead changes amongst four drivers. Let's take a look at the points. Buzz, we're into the round of eight. There's only 10 to start, so Corey Heim is leading the points. Christian Eckes is second. Hocevar is third. Grant Enfinger, fourth. Zane Smith is fifth. Ben Rhodes is sixth. Nick Sanchez is seventh. And Ty Majeski is there. After this, they go to the round of four. So Corey Heim locks in to the next round. And your bottom four are on the bubble is Grant Enfinger and Zane Smith, but there is a 14-point, 16-point difference. In the Xfinity Series, taking the checkered flag is ever while opening document. Nice. Refresh it. No, we're having issues with the internet. With the let me see if I can go to the other section. That pack. No. Go to the Cup Series. Maybe we can come back to that. Sometimes it let's do the, all right. Obviously, the documents aren't working. Let me refresh that. There we go. We have Denny Hamlin taking the checkered flag. This is the Cup Series now. We'll go back to the Xfinity. Led three times for 142 of the 500 laps. Kyle Larson was second. Christopher Bell in the 20 started on the pole three times for 187 laps. So he had some dominating runs here. Chris Buescher was fourth. Ty Gibbs was fifth. Michael McDowell was sixth. Seventh is Chase Elliott. Brad Keselowski, eighth. Ninth, William Byron. And rounding out the top ten, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. So Hamlin locks into the next round, the round of eight. So the race took 2 hours, 48 minutes. Average speed, 94.99 miles an hour. We'll just call it 95 mile an hour. Margin of victory, 2.437. Six cautions for 53 laps. 10 lead changes amongst six drivers. Okay, leading the points now with Kyle Larson. Denny Hamlin is second. Tyler Reddick is third. William Byron is fourth. Christopher Bell is fifth. Sixth is Brad Keselowski. Chris Buescher is seventh. Eighth is Kyle Busch. Ninth, Ryan Blaney. Ross Chastain rounds out the top 10. So, Martin Truex 11th and Bubba Wallace is 12th. Eliminated, Joey Logano had a big wreck. He was in it until he wrecked, especially having race wins. He didn't win any round this, so he had would have got in on points. Harvick, no wins all year, which is kind of bummed, but because, you know, he usually winds up with a win somewhere. And Ricky Stenhouse is out. And Michael McDowell. So your top 12 are moving on. Let's try Xfinity Series. There we go. Justin Allgaier takes the checkered flag, led three times for 110 laps. Daniel Hemric was second. John Hunter Nemechek is third. Cole Custer, fourth. Fifth is Chandler Smith. Sixth is Ryan Sieg. Seventh, Trevor Bayne, back in the car. I haven't seen him in a while. He's in the playoffs, so he's been running all year. Eighth, Riley Herbst. Sammy Smith is ninth. Kaz Grala is 10th. Race was 1 hour, 52 minutes. Average speed, 85.5 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.7 seconds. Six cautions for 48 laps. Eight lead changes amongst five drivers. Now for the points, because this was round one of the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. Normally I'd have audio, but we're just about out of time, so. I'm going to wrap it up real quick soon. John Hunter Nemechek leads the points. Justin Allgaier in second. He's locked into the next round because this is round one. Cole Custer is third. Austin Hill is fourth. Chandler Smith is fifth. Daniel Hemric is sixth. Sammy Smith, seventh. Eighth is Sheldon Creed. Ninth is Jeb Burton. Sam Mayer is 10th. Parker Kligerman is 11th. And Josh Berry is 12th. So John Hunter's locked in, and not John Hunter's. Justin Allgaier's locked in. I don't think John Hunter will be eliminated. He's got too far up the food chain here. He will get in on points if he doesn't win a race within the next two. So not counting him out. Okay, coming up this weekend, We only have the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series out in Texas. Andy's Frozen Custard 300 on Saturday at 3:30 on USA. And the Cup Series will be the Automotive 400 at 3:30. So Eastern Time, both on the USA Network. So don't forget to tune in. As far as NHRA is concerned, their next event will be this weekend in Carolina at Charlotte at the Z-Max Dragway. Bruton Smith Boulevard. How convenient. So Camry's heading on down there, and hopefully she has a good weekend. Next week we'll try to get either Josh Hart or Justin Ashley. I'll have to message Elon and see what happens there. So I hope you enjoyed our Ladies of Drag Racing. And, yeah, we're going to have both of them back, especially I like talking to Nancy. She likes to talk. I could just say, hi. We'll talk about everything. I'll even have her back, see if she wants to come back on in the off season, and we could talk music. So it's always good to have somebody with knowledge of other things. And we'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.